This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by John Herman. John is the CEO of the Ochsner North Shore region. Ochsner, of course, is one of the great systems in the United States and sort of a leading regional system in the South, sort of near South, Southeast, wherever you describe exactly the New Orleans and greater Louisiana area and so forth, or Mid-South. John, take a moment, correct me, and tell me your title, and then we'll talk to you about priorities, Ochsner, and a lot more.
Yeah, so Scott, thank you for the invitation. I'm honored to participate today or be on the call today. My name is John Herman. I am the CEO for Ochsner's North Shore region.
And do people consider it the Gulf South? Is that what they call it versus Mid-South or however I butchered it?
Yeah, we're in the Gulf South.
Fantastic. And talk to us for a moment. Ochsner's got this magnificent growth story over the last 20 years, really came to be the forefront after Katrina and so on. But one of the things that has struck me about Ochsner and watching over the years is the investment in leadership and people development. Can you take a moment and talk about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, Ochsner at its origin was built upon innovation and education. And so through our entire 78-year history, I think it's 78 years now, but 78-year history, we've had a focus on educating not only clinicians, physicians, nurses, technicians, but also our entire leadership team and all of our staff. So each year, you know, we have a commitment that we have to, and when I say we have to, it's great with great pleasure that our leaders are educated either through our internal Ochsner Learning Institute or through external opportunities in order to continue our development. And that really, that development is really what fosters the innovation, I think, that is so part of our DNA.
And take a moment on the Ochsner Learning Institute and just talk about that for a moment and what that is.
Yeah, Ochsner Learning Institute today is all online. But prior to COVID, if we can all remember those days, it was a mix of online learning, but also in-person learning. It was labs. It was an opportunity for Ochsner leaders as faculty and Ochsner leaders as students to come together to learn about many different disciplines, anything from core management skills around, you know, financial budgeting and evaluations, but also I think some more critical skills around, you know, how do you lead people, how do you motivate people, how do you have critical conversations. And it's been the backbone of how we have developed our leadership teams.
And take a moment in advice that you would give to leaders. You manage a lot of people. You've worked with a lot of emerging leaders. Talk for a moment about what advice you would give to emerging leaders.
Yeah, I would say what I would have said 20 years ago is very different than what I would say today. I came out of
talk about that.
Yeah. I came out of a discipline where I thought hardcore business was what was really important. But what I have learned and the advice that I would give to leaders is focus first on your team. Culture trumps strategy every single day of the week. And so work on energizing your team, giving them direction, encourage them to take action, have a bias for taking action, do it as quickly as you can. And I think most importantly, stay humble. You know, I think all of us as lifelong learners, if we take the approach of listening first, our teams will often and our customers will often guide us toward down the path that will allow us to continue to improve the care that we are able to provide.
Thank you. And talk about your top priorities as a leader the next 6 to 12 months. What do you see as your top priorities?
Yeah, I think the first thing, you know, all of our teams have just done heroic things over the last 9 months with COVID. And one of the top thing I would think that we're focused on is the resilience of those teams. You know, there's such uncertainty. They're concerned about their safety. There's just constant change, and change that's happening at such an incredibly fast pace. You know, many of my hours or much of what I'm focused on is really around resilience, giving our team hope, and yet giving them the reality and a plan that will allow them to continue to move forward. I would say the second thing that we're working on is how do we reestablish care? We know during that first critical period when there was COVID that many patients weren't able to or chose not to receive care, and we're seeing the exacerbation of illness. And so it's that balance in terms of continuing or reestablishing normal care and yet maintaining the critical capacity that we have to have with COVID. And then the third and most important, you know, we continue to have significant financial challenges as a result of COVID. So managing our bottom line, managing our cost structure, but probably more importantly, looking to the future and making sure that we're focusing on how are we going to continue to grow and how are we going to continue to differentiate ourselves over the next 2 or 3 years.
And let me ask you a completely different question. You're originally, you know, University of Buffalo from the sort of, you know, you're giving me trouble on geography today, somewhere between the Midwest and the East. And how challenging was it to get the family to move to the Gulf South? Was that a challenging discussion? We're moving from upstate New York or New York down to Louisiana. And how much have you embraced Louisiana since you've been there?
Yeah, so I would say Buffalo has declared itself a Midwestern city, not upstate New York. So I wouldn't be true to my roots if I didn't emphasize that. You know, I think any significant move of for both myself and my family was an important decision. I have a great family. You know, my wife of 27 years, my two great kids. They were at a point in their high school careers where we made the personal choice that we were gonna let them finish high school up in Buffalo. And then after they completed, they started their collegiate careers and my wife came down here, and she was fortunate enough through her employer that she was able to continue to maintain her professional career. But it was really hard. It was really hard. And I think it was the strength of our family that allowed us to recognize and make those hard decisions and really do it in a way that we felt would advance all of our abilities for the future. In terms of the culture, I mean, there's obviously a very dramatic climatic change between when you move from Buffalo, New York to New Orleans. But from a core culture perspective, both of the cities, we're fortunate. Both of the cities are port cities. Buffalo at the end of the Great Lakes and the Erie Canal, and New Orleans, obviously, at the end of the Mississippi. And as a result, a rich heritage of cultural diversity that brings with it, you know, an enjoyment of food, an enjoyment of music, you know, a rich, rich cultural experience. And so that has made the move for Lisa and myself to be relatively easy. And we still are able to enjoy many of the things that we did up in Buffalo, but down here in the bayou.
Hey, let me ask you a different question. We've got a son down there at college, and they talk about New Orleans having a bit of a party culture. As a parent, how concerned should I be about that culture?
I think the way I would say it is, if you raise good kids, if you raise kids that have a good, stable background, I wouldn't worry about it at all. You know, I think my daughter went over to LSU. My son was up in Boston. And I think at some point, you know, we have to rely upon the 18 or 20 years that we were able to invest in bringing them up to be good, upstanding citizens. You know, the social opportunities in New Orleans, as with anywhere, you can enjoy it to its fullest without going to an extreme. So I think, you know, as a good parent, I think it's very easy to have any student come to New Orleans, enjoy the culture, but not get it to the point where it's at excess.
Got it. So really, at the end of the day, it's my responsibility for what we did with him and as a family the first 18 years. And now it's him to keep a good head on his shoulders, and we might be okay, and we should be okay.
I think you'll be okay. Absolutely. Yes.
Great. So as you look at healthcare going into the future, we're recording now, November 9th or so, just announced this Pfizer vaccine did wonderfully well in its effectiveness results, at least in its first run. Does that buoy your team with a little bit? We know it's a long struggle ahead, But does that give your team a little bit of optimism today that things that there's a light at the end of the tunnel on COVID and so forth?
Yeah, I think every advance that we have, every tool that we put into our toolkit that will help us help society to continue to fight COVID is another piece that gives our team hope. You know, it started with understanding the importance of masks, social distancing. You know, it came through some of the therapeutic, you know, measures like remdesivir. And now with the vaccines, that again, it provides another tool in our toolkit so that to the extent that we can bring our personal lives, but also the stability of the healthcare system back closer to what we would consider normal.
Do you think, when you think about, you had talked about building a team, making sure your team is taken care of. So the old adage has never been as true as this today, culture beats strategy, and humility as a leader. Talk about that concept of humility as a leader and how critical that is to leadership today. There's nothing people want less than overly ego-driven leader. Isn't that the concept today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, healthcare and the entire world is becoming the amount of data, the amount of information is just, it just continues to get deeper and deeper every single day. And I think all of us have incredibly talented teams that we are working with. Each of them, in many cases, have subspecialized into understanding a critical piece of that information. And I think it's our role as a senior leader to put our teams together, to put that puzzle together, I guess is what I would say, to provide the overall care, but not to micromanage or not to overstep what our teams do every single day. And so approaching a situation or approaching your work every day with an interest, with a curiosity to learn more and to help understand how the puzzle pieces fit together is, I guess, how I would describe what I think, you know, an effective leader today in healthcare and in the industry, but in healthcare in particular is an important characteristic.
Let me ask you this question. You know, when we're at our best, we have this constant curiosity and caring about people and listening and hearing what they're saying. How do you maintain yourself at your best so you could do that day in, day out?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. You know, I think number one, you know, we need to be good to ourselves first. And that is kind of that sounds somewhat opposite. But if we ourselves aren't healthy, then it's really hard to give back to our team. I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but you know, I work with Greg Ebert, and Greg wrote a book, You Can't Give What You Don't Have. And the premise of that book is, in order to give your best to everybody else, you first have to be good with yourself. You have to have a purpose. You have to maintain your personal health. You have to have mindfulness. You have to have that opportunity and that space for yourself to rest and recover. And I think all those characteristics are things that are important in leaders today, because it really is important for us to be able to be there for our team. And our teams watch us. Our teams watch how we behave. And if we take care of ourselves, then they'll take care of themselves. And if they take care of themselves, then they can do their best work every single day.
Talk about the name of the book you just mentioned, just so if our listeners are listening and want to gain that or see that, they can.
Yeah. Yeah. So the book that Greg wrote is really based on his personal experience. He talks about the seven different habits that each of us need to have in order to be our best selves. It's a series of stories that helps us understand or have insight into not just the science and the theory that he bases that on, but gives us real life experiences so that as we go through our day, you know, we can work to apply those. And as with any habit, as with anything that we do, you know, you have to be patient with yourself and understand that just because you want to live in a more purposeful way, Every single day is a challenge, and you just have to keep working at it and develop that behavior, develop those habits over time.
Thank you very much. John, a great pleasure to visit with you today. I've watched Oscar for the last decade plus and watched just tremendous things happen, tremendous growth, and a pleasure to visit with you, CEO of the North Region, North Shore Region. Just a magnificent time to visit with you, John. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure.